Hello, Jonathan. This is Michael Criswell. Oh, my friend, I feel compassion for you after reading your email. And your email in particular has prompted me to realize I need to make a message specifically to this situation, that you're not the only one that faces this. I want you to know that without a doubt, God would be pleased if you are indeed trying to hear from Him and that you're desiring Him. And at the same time, I want you to know that I see that you must be a very new believer. And I would imagine that you're somewhat young and this is all very new to you. And my friend, I want you to know that you are clearly being led astray and deceived, most likely simply by your own imagination. There are many, many, many people, and I can even think of many times when I was younger when I would confuse my own thoughts for what I thought to be God speaking to me. When you first start walking with God, here's how you can primarily recognize His voice. He will lead you to do things that you do not want to do. You are not going to come to the Lord at this early of a stage in your walk and have Him start to direct you to an unbeliever as a girlfriend. That is not what God does. What God does is usually tell you to walk away from the girlfriend, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jonathan, it's late at night for me right now, and it's difficult for me to be able to make a good message for you, but I want you to understand that you really need to take a really big deep breath and pause and allow yourself to be humiliated. It's okay. We all have to make mistakes when we are learning to try to walk with the Lord. I've mentioned in a few of my most recent videos, and I've mentioned this throughout some of my videos, do not emulate my faith until you actually have my faith. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble thinking that you can imitate Michael's faith. You can follow my example, but my example is not in putting God to the test. You see, I've made mention of this in many of these recordings that you hear me walking in extraordinary faith and seeing amazing things happen. But I'm only doing what I know God has asked me to do. Now, I've been a Christian for 30 years. And for the last 10 years, I gave a full surrender to God. And for 3.5 years, all I did was read the Bible, study, and learn. God was not having me do a bunch of crazy stuff. Yes, He separated me from my old life, but God was not having me do a bunch of weird stuff and jerking me around and do this and go see her and come here and do that. No, that's not what God does. God wants you to be like Mary and to sit at the feet of Jesus in your prayer chair, your private chair, and read that Bible. And you have to read and study for years to know God like this. You really do. I mean, think about the disciples, Jonathan. They had to follow along Jesus for 3.5 years before they were ever given an opportunity to have their own ministry and to really go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. They did not even receive the power of the Holy Spirit until after they had been walking with Jesus and training under Him for 3.5 years. It takes time for a person to learn over time how to distinguish between good and evil. And the reason you're so confused right now is because you're getting ahead of God. You're not walking in accordance with the Spirit. You're walking in accordance with your own flesh, your own human understanding. And if your own human understanding can't lead you astray, for sure the devil will be right there to help you. And he can put thoughts in your head and all that. But a lot of this can come from your own imagination, where we deceive ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the human heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Deceitfully wicked, it's deceived. And your flesh is corrupt, Jonathan. You can so easily, and again, not just you, Jonathan, and not your flesh is corrupt. All of our flesh is corrupt, and all of us are helpless and hopeless apart from the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, it takes time. And listen, Following Jesus Christ is about learning who he is. You got to understand something, Jonathan. Please, God, help him to get this. God does not ask you to start doing these crazy kind of things that you're talking about until after you've learned to know him. Listen, the whole point of Christianity is to know God, not to just be, you know, doing this for God and doing that for God and following this and following that. Yes, those things come. And you hear me preaching a lot of that because the majority of my audience are people that have been sitting in a church for 10 years and they've read all the books, they've studied the Bible, they've sat through Bible studies. They're not new believers. They understand the basics about God, Jesus, life, the devil, the Holy Spirit, and yet they're not experiencing the new covenant life that I'm testifying to, which is the life of Christ, the abundant life that he promised in John 10:10. And then you've heard me go through all the things that Jesus said he'll promise. He promises abundant life, life to the full. He promises peace that surpasses all understanding, not the peace that comes from the world. He promises contentment, no longer a thirst for anything or anybody in the world. He promises joy, everlasting joy, his joy in you made complete. He promises in John 15 an abundance of answered prayers. He promises freedom from sin, John 8. John 14, 27, he promises that if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, he will add all the things that you need. Matthew 6, 33. So Jesus promises rivers of living water, John 7, 37, flowing from with you. Notice these things are all about internal blessings of the Spirit-led life. And these things free you. As you become a spiritual man, they free you of a lot of things in the world. That is the goal of Christianity. The goal of Christianity is to turn you into a spiritual man and reconcile you back to a person, Jesus Christ. Not just to have you running around like a chicken with your head cut off in the name of Jesus. You understand, Jonathan? And I know this is very humiliating for you, brother. Let it bring you low. Let it bring humiliation into you because that is where God will bless. God understands that you are eager to know him. God understands your enthusiasm. God respects your desire to obey him. I want you to know that's very honorable, Jonathan. Your desire to obey God and to be willing to be seen as a fool and to follow what you think is the Lord. And you know, sometimes that's how you learn what his voice is, by following the voice that is not his and finding out, oops, this was not from God. So part of learning to hear God's voice in your life and how he uniquely speaks to you through the word, or, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you insight in your heart, is learning by failure. So I don't want you to beat yourself up too much, but I do want you to take a huge pause as your big brother, as your leader in Christ. If you're following my teachings and you're following my example, you have to remember you're looking at a man when you watch my videos who's been a Christian for 30 years. If I had to take a guess, I would say that's probably longer than you've been alive. Okay? So you want to just slow down. Pause. Remember, God is not going to create confusion. He's not the author of confusion. Now watch this. Yes, there may come a time when God will ask you to do something. I want to make sure you understand this. There may come a time when God will ask you to do things that do not make sense to anybody around you, not your family, not your friends, not your ministers. There's a lot of people who lean on their own human understanding. You've heard that. My whole life story is about everybody around me telling me, Mike, this is dumb. This isn't right. You shouldn't do this. But brother, I knew that I heard from God without a doubt. And I had also been following after God for years. I had been being trained and I had been, as the Bible says, learning to distinguish between good and evil by constantly putting the teachings into practice. I was gaining good understanding. I feared the Lord, which you do have. But also, look at Mark 4:23. Be very careful how you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. To he who has, more will be given. To him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. This is Jesus saying, this is how you get good understanding, is by practicing my teachings. And there's a lot of teachings in here of denying yourself, taking up your cross, being poor in spirit, being merciful, being a mourner, being a peacemaker, being blessed to be persecuted, you know, not lusting, taking up your cross and denying yourself, losing your life in order to find it, loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving others, forgiving others, avoiding and fleeing sexual immorality, doing whatever it takes, cutting off your right hand, and it doesn't mean literally. He does not mean literally cut off your right hand if it causes you to sin, or your right foot. He's saying deal with sin drastically. You know, John the Baptist came saying, make straight paths for the Lord to travel. This is about getting rid of all the sin and rebellion and unbelief in your life and learning who Jesus is, preparing a path in your heart for him to make his home. John 14, 21 through 23. God wants to make his home in your heart. That is the priority of Christianity, is for you to know him. For you to know him, Jonathan. Not just for God to move you around like a little robot, like some kind of a toy that he just says, you know, go forward, go left, go right, go this, go this. Now again, being led of the Holy Spirit is very much a part of Christianity. I would not have the ministry I have today. I would not be knowing God like I know him. I would not be enjoying all the fruitfulness in my heart and in my ministry today if I did not know him and I was not obeying him and allowing him to guide and direct my path. Okay? But you have a long time before you will be asked to do things. Usually, again, it's not, God is not asking people right off their bat, right off the brand new belief system. You know, in other words, as soon as somebody becomes a believer, God does not just send them out, start running them all over the place. That's not how God works. What he does is he sits you down and he says, take this out of your life. Get that out of your life. And he begins to reveal to you all the parts of your life and your heart and your character and your behavior that are not like Christ. He begins to reveal himself to you in his word. He begins to develop an insatiable appetite for him in you. And he begins to make himself known to you. You begin to believe and you have this. And that is so pleasing to God. But you have to be willing to wait on God. A lot of Christian life is waiting on God to act, waiting on God to make something known, waiting on God to give insight. Okay? But my friend, I tell you, God is not going to lead you to believe for an unbeliever. He is not going to do it. Can he do it? Has he done it in the past? I have no doubt that anything is possible for God, but I will tell you, it is so completely outside of what he would teach in his word. Do not be yoked with unbelievers. And for you to say, oh, but she's, you know, God will save her, is putting God to the test. That's the devil taking Jesus up onto the temple and saying, hey, big shot, throw yourself down from here and the Lord will command his angels concerning you such that you not strike your foot against a stone. He's quoting scripture to Jesus Christ. He's trying to get Jesus to get ahead of God's plan. He offers an alternative or a counterfeit. Yes, God may have a wife for you one day, but God is not going to lead you to an unbeliever. That's a complete contradiction. He may lead you to somebody who no longer believes down the road. He may allow somebody he brings into your life to fall away from the faith. That happens all the time. But God, I don't see any precedent in scripture that he would take. On the contrary, we see that Paul's command to widows is that if they've had a marriage that they've lost through the death of their spouse, he says she's free to marry anybody she wants, but he must be a believer in the Lord. He must. You see? So why would God contradict the Holy Spirit in you and say, but he's going to give you a non-believer? Man, that doesn't make sense. You know what that is? That's your flesh. Take the devil out of it. You don't even need to have the devil in this. That is your rotten flesh leaning on its own desires, leaning on its own understanding, wanting what it wants. Man, I understand that, Jonathan. I want you to know, brother, I understand that strong desire, and I understand my rotten flesh. Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. I've been able to put that down. I'm no longer led by my flesh, I'm led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been able to learn to put my flesh down and to desire kingdom things. And I'm continuing to grow in the power of the Holy Spirit. But my friend, your flesh is very active. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and Romans 8, if you go read about it, it's very clear your flesh does not want to, nor can it follow the law and the ways of God. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Listen, it sounds to me that you are very much in a position where you're trying to rely on your own understanding and you're trying to live the Christian life apart from the actual presence and person of Christ in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to live like Christ. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, see, Jesus has to remain in you. How does he remain in you? By his Spirit. Okay? He says, apart from me, meaning apart from me living inside of you by my Spirit, John 14:21-23, you can do nothing. Jesus says you can do nothing. Now you can go out because many people do in his name and they attempt all kinds of things in his name. They start all kinds of movements. They make all kinds of decisions, ministries and personal desires and goals and dreams. And they do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all a counterfeit. It's all a delusion of their mind. It has absolutely nothing to do with the promises, power, plan, or will of God. One of the most important things that you'll learn about being a Christ follower is being willing to wait on God. Okay? You have to be willing to wait. And again, I want you to know that I am very proud of you for wanting to obey God, even when it doesn't make sense. My friend, I tell you the truth, you get an A plus for that. Okay? You get an A for effort. I'm telling you, it's important for you to understand this, that God is pleased that you want to obey him like this, okay? But that's only one wing on the bird. And a one-winged bird does fly nowhere but in circles, okay? There's another part of this. You have to obey God and call upon the Lord in truth and follow him in truth and obey his will and wait for him to reveal himself in his will. And you know, God has to reveal himself to you before he can reveal his will. You have to see Jesus and have a revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart before God will begin to give you a personal will for your life. That's the way it's always worked. God allows men to find him, Jesus, right where they're at. In their neighborhoods, in their homes, in their states, in their countries, wherever that. He typically allows men to wrestle out their flesh and to wrestle with their sin and to wrestle against the devil and to finally call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, to be born again, to be baptized in his name, to receive the blood shed on the cross of Jesus Christ as atonement for their sins, and to begin this rebirth life of learning how to follow him. Okay? And usually God will do that right where a person's at. And then he'll train them using all kinds of various difficult circumstances and training and Bible time and all that. And then eventually God will begin to give instructions. Hey, personal instructions. I want you to let go of that. And he'll speak to your word and you'll notice, man, the scripture came up 3 times today or in the last couple of days. And I wonder if God's speaking to me. And you begin to wrestle and you wait on God and you ask him for insight and you wait patiently for him to make it clear. Okay, I mean, I still have to do this, Jonathan. When God calls me to do something, I still have to wait for him to speak to me, and I have to be very clear. But I've learned after all these years how to discern his voice. I know when God is speaking to me. Okay? So, my friend, I want you to know that I love you and care about you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to take a gigantic pause. Okay, and catch your breath. You know what you need to do? You need to be still before the Lord. You need to get in the Gospels, begin to read the Gospels. If you haven't taken the John 7:17 challenge, I want to really encourage you to do so. You do not have to buy the book. It's available for free on my website. It is a step-by-step handheld journey through the actionable teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay? Yes, you are going to have to live by faith. Yes, the day will come when God will ask you to do things that make sense to no one, but that day is not now. You will know, but find God first. Okay? Let it be that He's your whole delight. You have to find and be delighted in God. Okay? And let Him be delighted in you over a long period of time, and let your faith have time to grow and time to be tested. And you know, just repent. Repent to the Lord. Repent and turn away from this following your own imagination. Tell the Lord that you're sorry, and ask Him to protect you, and say, God, I got ahead of you. I made the classic mistake that so many millions of Christians make. They get out ahead of you. I don't want to be ahead of you. You have to wait. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, wait here in Jerusalem before you leave. You wait until you receive the power from the Holy Spirit. He made them wait, and they had to wait for like 40 days after Jesus ascended. Can you imagine how difficult that was to just sit around and just wait for this what? Invisible power? That is a big, important step in the Christian faith, is waiting for God to reveal Himself to you in power before you set out. Okay? It's about finding Jesus, having a relationship. It's about a person. Just remember that. It's not about just going and doing stuff. Listen, Jonathan, God doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He doesn't need you to do anything for Him. But the day will come when He will perhaps invite you to do something with Him. Okay? So I hope that will help you. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to try to answer. I cannot guarantee I can get back to you. I receive so many emails, but I will try. Okay? But you just, man, you got to go back to the basics. Leave the girls alone. Find Jesus, and then you can have, you know, Him tell you if you're supposed to be married or not. The greatest gift God could ever give you would be the grace to be single for the rest of your life. It would save you so much trouble you can't even imagine. Okay? That's why Paul says it's better for those of you to not marry. And I want to save you the trouble that those who marry, because they have a lot of troubles in this life. That's what Paul taught the church at the Corinth. And it divides your attention. And I know you have a strong desire. And I'm not saying God's not going to bless you one day with a marriage partner. I don't know what God's will is for you. Okay? But I do know that it is God's will. If you call yourself by His name, if you say that you're a follower of Christ, His goal is to conform you into the image and person and wisdom of Jesus Christ. And James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask the Lord, who will graciously give it to you. But do not doubt. When you ask God for something, do not doubt. You have to believe Him. Okay? Listen, may God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless Jonathan to know your truth. Bless him with repentance to turn away from his own poor understanding. Bless him, Father, and cover him if there's been any demonic torment, if there's been any of Satan's deceptions going on around him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will run them off. God, that you will protect him, that you will help him to have discerning mind, discerning heart, discerning ears to hear your voice. Help him to learn from this failure. Help him to grow, God. Help him to remember and to be encouraged to know that even the greatest Christians that have ever lived have all made similar mistakes. That all of us have had a tendency to get excited about you and want to get ahead and go out and do things for you and follow you and obey you. But help him to understand how dangerous that is to do apart from your Spirit. God, bless him with this insight, spiritual wisdom and understanding, Father. And give him more revelation about who you are and about your word and about your ways. Give him revelation, Lord, on your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, brother.